Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today I want to tell you first the fun things that we're going to talk about. I have got designer Nancy Mahoney on, and she is going to first talk to us about paper piecing and the different things she does in the industry with her fabric and her books and all kinds of fun things. And then we're going to have Kathy Brown from The Teacher's Pet. And I know that you know Kathy's work. And she's got some tips for just using 5 fabrics in a quilt. Can you believe that? Just 5. And then for the second half of the show, I have designer Karen Stone on. And Karen is absolutely passionate about fabric and color and your palette. And so she's going to talk to us about how she works and how she thinks about those things. So I think that's really exciting because I've taken a workshop with Karen before and it's pretty fun. So let's get going here because we want to learn a little bit about Nancy Mahoney's paper piecing. You know, Nancy has been around in the industry doing just a huge variety of things. She's very, very talented. She designs fabric and has loads of books. So I'm really excited to get some tips from her. So hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good, Pat. How are you?
I am fabulous. I bet it is nice and sunny in Florida right now.
Well, it is sunny, although it's a little cool, not as cold as up where you are, but it's a little cool for us today.
Yeah, wimps. It's not cool down there.
We are wimps. It's only in the 60s, so it's cold for us.
Cold. Yeah, I knew you were trying not to say it was cold. It's like... So let's see, Nancy, let's start out first with your new book on kaleidoscope paper piecing. That's the name of your book. And I just, you know, I'm fascinated by paper piecing because, you know, I'm not really that great at it. You know, why did you decide to do a whole book on this? And is it your first one on paper piecing?
It's not. It's actually my third book on paper piecing. And I've been paper piecing for, well, I've been sewing for over 30 years. And I started paper piecing.
You were a child when you started.
I was. I started sewing when I was about 7. And I made my own clothes up until I was well into my 20s until I started quilting. And once I started quilting, I gave up making garments and just went really into making quilts. And within a couple of years of making quilts, I started paper piecing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it really popular at that time?
There were some things available. There weren't a whole lot of patterns. And there was some people came out with some things where you could stamp blocks. And they were all really small, like about 3 inches. And they were pretty, like, labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And one of my first projects was made from one of those stamped blocks. And at that time, you could stamp it on paper, or you could stamp it on fabric and, you know, and leave your fabric in. So,
So that's a little different than being able to remove the paper.
It is.
So what's in this particular book? Was it, you know, it's called Kaleidoscope. So is that because of the actual blocks that you decided to work with?
Yes.
So tell me about them.
Well, I decided to, I'd been playing with kaleidoscope blocks, and kaleidoscope blocks all have 8 wedges.
Okay.
For most of them, they're all the same, although on some of the blocks I'll have 4 wedges that are same and 4 wedges that are different. And I like the way they all come together to create this really terrific kaleidoscopic design. So I had been playing with those, and after I'd come up with enough blocks, I decided, well, maybe this I could put this together into a book, and that's how the book came about.
Yeah, so it's really nice that it's all, I sort of like that it's themed like that because the variety, you don't think of all these as kaleidoscopes, but they fit that criteria.
They do, and it's really fun. I mean, you can go from something that's pretty beginner basic. I have 2 projects in there that are really designed for beginners to get your feet wet and get the feel of using paper piecing and doing these types of shapes, and then it goes up into much more complex designs.
Yeah, you have one called Fractured Crystals that looks like a little more on the difficult side.
That's on the more difficult side, and the one that's Spinning My Blues Away, I think is the name of it, is the other one that's really much more difficult.
Yeah, and all the patterns are full size, right?
They're all full size.
Right. Yes, they can just print them right out of here. That is cool. So let's talk some tips, because, you know, Nancy, when, you know, I do what I think most people do, because I don't paper piece that often. When I go to get started, I'm always trying to be, I think, too frugal with the fabric, and I don't get the space covered, or my seam is too skimpy. You know, what am I doing wrong?
Well, I like to work a lot with strips. And uh-huh. I'll cut my strips anywhere from a half inch to 3/4 inch wider than the area it needs to cover. So if I was making like a log cabin block and they were all 1-inch logs, mm-hmm. I would make 1 3/4 inch strips.
Ah, okay. Okay. So that's sort of your standard upping the size.
Yes. Yes. And once I've sewn my first two pieces on, mm-hmm. then I use a, some people use a postcard, but I like to use a piece of plastic, like a template material, mm-hmm. and lay it on the line that represents the next seam line, and fold your paper back mm-hmm. on top of the template material or the postcard, and yeah. trim for your seam allowance for that okay. next patch. And okay. before you sew it on, then you already have your seam allowances already established, and you know that your piece is going to be the right size to mm-hmm. fit and cover that whole area. And I think that's where a lot of people have trouble, is that particularly with odd-shaped pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And there's yeah. a lot of odd-shaped pieces in this book. So,
yeah. so I have lots of practice.
Yeah, it does take a certain amount of practice. But what I do is I make an extra copy of my foundation paper, mm-hmm. and I cut it apart so that I have a little paper template.
Ooh.
And then
that's
I can use my paper template and yeah. just cut my fabric shape and add a half inch all the way around whatever that uh-huh. shape is. Uh-huh. And now I have the correct shape for the yeah. area that I want to cover.
That's brilliant, Nancy. I had never heard that before. That makes sense for my brain.
It does.
Yeah, because now you've got a little sample sitting right there, because it's that sort of upside down and backwards thing, because you're working on the back side and...
That's right, and that's
over.
Another thing. That's something that really confuses people, is that you're working upside down. So it also helps if you color code your pattern. Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, all of them are color coded based on my colors. But if
right.
you're using different colors, when you mm-hmm. make your first pattern, you make your first mm-hmm. copy of the pattern, you'll mm-hmm. want to write in where you're going to place your red, or where you're going to put your green or your cream mm-hmm. or whatever fabrics you're using. Just mm-hmm. write that on your pattern. And then every time you pick it up, you know, mm-hmm. okay, now I need my red piece, or I need my cream piece, or I need, you know, whatever piece it is that you're going to be putting in that place.
Okay. And people can come and take classes from you, can't they?
They can. And I teach paper piecing classes, yes.
Oh, now do you have that on your website?
I do.
Okay. So your website is nancymahoney.com, so it's really easy. There's teaching schedule and workshops right on the top, so people can go out there and they come hang out with you sometime.
Yeah, it's fun. We have fun in our classes. And I teach some really basic paper piecing, mm-hmm. And I teach a really more involved one, which is feathered stars, and so that's a much mm-hmm. more complicated paper piecing. But the paper piecing part isn't hard. It's the block making yeah. the feathered star part that's harder.
Yeah, and then is there any difference, like, when you have a lot of seams, like, towards the center of a block? Because you do so much piecing, Nancy. I mean, you're a very good piecer. Is there any difference when you're on a paper piece block? Do you need to take the paper out to sew units together?
I do. I like to take uh-huh. my paper out along those pieces that I'm going to be sewing the seams.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple things that will help you. One is if you use a tightly woven fabric, such as a batik, mm-hmm. it'll, because your fabric is tightly woven, it isn't as thick, mm-hmm. and so you'll get sharper points.
Ah,
it
very
also
good.
Helps, yeah, and it also helps to press your seam allowances open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you're sewing the units together, if you press them open, you don't get mm-hmm. that bulky part in the center.
Ah, good tips, good paper piecing tips. I'll switch gears here on you for a second. We've got out on allpeoplequilt.com on the American Patchwork and Quilting website, you have been a a designer for our family of magazines. And we have a couple of your projects. The Southwestern Circles Throw is one of Nancy's projects out there. And this one is not paper piece, but it's got some curves in it.
It does.
Do you have any tips for curves?
Well, I do mine as a turned method where I use starch and plastic template. And
oh, okay.
I iron it over the curved edge, and then I machine applique it.
Oh, you do?
That's... I do.
You're not piecing those curves, Nancy?
I'm not piecing those curves.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. I'll let you go on that one.
If you put... I can. Now, Pat, I can piece those curves.
I know you can. You're very
easier.
Good.
It's easier to applique them.
Well, you know, I should start trying to do that. I haven't really done that either. So, and I like to applique. So you can just go to allpeoplequilt.com and put Nancy Mahoney's name in there, and you'll find she has, you know, some other projects out there that you can take a look at, and a profile, and all kinds of cool stuff. So, you know, Nancy, I wanted to get in, talk about your fabric lines today, too. So what is your latest fabric line?
Well, my latest one is called Adeline, and it's a 30s reproduction line that I did with PMB.
Yeah, and you've done quite a few 30s lines.
I have.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, thank you. They're fun. You know, I like the bright colors. They're just bright, cheery fabrics, so they're always fun.
Happy. The 30s fabrics are happy. But you also design for a lot of different people. And right now on your blog, you have a very cool three colorways for like a really, really fantastic quilt. Paris in the Springtime. Is that the fabric line name or the quilt name?
That's the quilt name. And okay. That's just a quilt that I designed for, you know, I did the quilt design for Hoffman.
Yeah, that is a fantastic design.
Well, thanks.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it shows off the fabric really well.
Well, that's what I try and do. When I'm designing for a fabric company, I approach it differently than if I'm designing for a book. And when I'm, you know, you're designing for a fabric company, you want to show off the fabric. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, you're very good at it. So, Nancy, this has been wonderful to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Pat. You know, I just really appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, and, you know, we might have to have you back sometime. You've got lots of good info.
Well, thanks, and I'm always available.
Okay, good. So go visit Nancy at nancymahoney.com, and from there you can get to her blog. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Kathy Brown.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and now I have got Kathy Brown of The Teacher's Pet. You know her work. She has a very prolific author again, and she's got fabulous things out there besides patterns and books and fabric, and she's also created a ruler to help you do the job of quilting. So I am so excited to have Kathy on. We're going to find out what makes her tick. So hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks. I'm excited as well.
Yeah, I got your newest book, More Take Five Quilts, and I want to talk about this concept in a minute of your Take Five. But first, tell me, you know, how long have you been in quilting, Kathy? You know, when did that start for you?
Back about 1994,
Wow, okay.
I've dabbled in a number of different things, you know, creative things all my mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. but just got bitten by the quilting bug in about 1994.
Cool. And then how did you decide for your company name, The Teacher's Pet?
Well, I used to teach first grade long ago in another life.
Yes, I always say that too, in my prior life.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, I think when everybody comes to class with you, I bet that they want to be the teacher's pet, you know.
I hope so. I know they have a good time, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's good. So tell me the basis of your series, because you have a series of books on the Take Five. What is the base concept of them?
Well, it started out with the first pattern I did, which was just called Take Five, and that was... at that time was going to be a singular pattern, and mm-hmm. I never knew it would explode into anything like this. Mm-hmm. But the concept was just about choosing five fabrics to mm-hmm. make a scrappy-looking quilt. Mm-hmm. I was helping out at my local quilt shop after Hurricane Katrina hit, and mm-hmm. You know, the ladies were coming in and trying to make quilts for all of the evacuees from the hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they did that, there were a couple of real popular patterns out at the time that happened to be fat quarter patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I was helping them try to choose their fat quarters for the quilt. Mm-hmm. And I was watching day after day as everybody agonized over choosing 20 fat quarters for this or, you know, 16 mm-hmm. fat quarters for that and wanting everything to match but having mm-hmm. so much trouble. And I just kept thinking, you know, there's got to be a better way. This is supposed to be fun and easy.
Right, exactly.
You know, this shouldn't be so agonizing.
Right, right.
So I'll just, you know, sat up one night and thought about what I used to do to make things easier for my first graders. And it was the rule of five on one hand, you know.
Oh.
And so I went back to that and I said, well, if a quilter walks into a quilt shop, mm-hmm. they immediately find a piece of fabric that they fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that one
oh,
piece
yeah.
that catches your eye.
Oh, yeah. It calls your name, actually.
Right, it does.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you can find four fabrics that go along with that, whether mm-hmm. you pick them by color or by texture or a combination of both, you know, by print.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can pick four others that go with it very easy.
Ah.
And then once you have those five fabrics, there's a whole bunch of patterns or designs out there now that you can use to create really scrappy-looking quilts with just five fabrics.
So is there any, I mean, there must be combos that just don't work. You know, Kathy, what would be like a tip, because you've obviously seen people do this a lot and thought about it a lot, but is there some tip that you know, something you want to stay away from so that you're more successful in that five combo?
Honestly, I haven't found it yet. Something
well,
that they have to
cool.
stay away from. I have
yeah.
seen some combinations that I looked at myself and thought, mm-hmm. oh, I don't yeah. know how that's going to work. But then when it got put into the pattern,
uh-huh.
it all worked.
Wow.
I don't know why that is, but it just does.
Yeah, it's your great designs. That's what it is, Kathy.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the ruler you designed. Was that to use with this concept?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Besides the Take Five concept, I like to work a lot with the pre-cut, you know, mm-hmm. whether it be jelly rolls or charm squares or layer cakes or whatever. But I have a huge stash of fat quarter bundles.
Ah.
And I also like to use those.
Mm-hmm.
But being the impatient Speedy Gonzales type person that I am, I would typically lay my ruler down mm-hmm. and try to cut strips and think mm-hmm. I've done a great job, get ready to mm-hmm. sew, and find out that I've cut a strip that's 2 3/8 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've
mm-hmm.
cut a strip that's 2 5/8 inches mm-hmm. because I'm not looking close enough when I cut. I just lay the ruler down, think that's 2 1/2, and whack it. Or it may be, not quite a 5-inch square because I didn't cut it properly. And
right.
if I would slow down, that would take care of things, but that's not me. So I thought, well, gosh, you know, there has to be other people out there that are like me that want to do things quick and easy and don't have to have all those markings on a ruler.
Right.
So I took a sketch pad and drew out a ruler that I thought would work, that would actually have just the markings for 2 1/2-inch strips and 5-inch strips.
Mm-hmm.
It would be able to cut the charm squares,
mm-hmm.
the 2 1/2-inch squares, and cut the 2 1/2 by 5-inch.
Wow.
Cut, you know, the dessert bars.
Yeah.
So those are all popular cuts in the pre-cut.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to be able to do 1 1/2, 3-inch, 4 1/2, and 6. And yet, if I took that ruler and put all that on there, it mm-hmm. became very confusing.
Yeah, busy.
So what I did was decide to split the ruler kind mm-hmm. of in half, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're looking at the ruler facing you one way,
mm-hmm.
it's all markings that are divisible by 5, and they're
okay.
in black lines.
Uh-huh.
So you get your 2 1/2-inch squares or your 2 1/2 by 5 or 5-inch square or 2 1/2-inch strip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you flip the ruler upside down,
mm-hmm.
everything that you read now is in white.
Oh, clever.
And so it's all divisible by 6. You have 1 1/2-inch squares
yeah.
or 1 1/2-inch strips, 3-inch strips, 4 1/2, and 6. And then you
and we're so visual, five. You know,
yes.
us quilters.
Yes. So this visual person, you know, was able to see it immediately. And the Creative Grids team took a look at it and said, oh, this is great. Let's make
yeah.
a ruler out of this.
Cool.
And that's how it came about. So now
well,
I can cut up all my fat quarters, all I want, and make those pre-cuts.
That's wonderful. I bet a lot of people would like to play with that because they can go to their local quilt shop and ask for it. That just so what's the name of that ruler, Kathy?
It's called the Fat Quarter Cutter.
Okay.
Real simple,
right.
by Creative Grid.
Right. Cool.
It also has a dual purpose, though, in that if you've already got your pre-cut, like
mm-hmm.
I have a ton of those as well,
mm-hmm.
It will cut those up into the smaller segments.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Because your markings on the left and the right side of the ruler allow you to make all the subcuts. So
Very.
It's really a two-in-one type tool.
Two-in-one. Well, you're brilliant. It's just brilliant. I'm going to have to – I haven't seen that one yet, so I'm going to check it out at Market when I get there. So, Kathy, tell me a little bit about your fabric lines. They're gorgeous. What's your current one?
The current one is called Abigail,
mm-hmm.
and it hit the stores, oh, gosh, I think it's in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And it's a very romantic floral type line.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really pretty. Lots of color in there. Two main colorways, black and then a tan, but lots and lots of color. You know, the rich greens and
mm-hmm.
blues and purples, and I like a lot of color.
It's gorgeous. You can click to it from Kathy's website so has a link over the-teachers-pet.com, and then you can go to her fabric page and click over it. What's the one coming out that you told me about?
It's called Maddie.
Yeah.
And again, it's a floral line as well, but it's inspired by the my Louisiana French heritage here, and the flowers have a lot of fleur-de-lis look to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's in different colorways, but it's just as beautiful. I think Red Rooster has done a wonderful job with the fabric.
More fun stuff for you to cut up.
Yes. And I can't wait. The fabric, my sash is supposed to arrive here tomorrow, and I just can't wait.
Oh, I know. It's the waiting. You know, it's like, oh, you just want to play with it. So when you, I have a quick question before we finish. Before, you know, when you go to a quilt show, what kind of quilts are you drawn to go look at a show? What sort of is your, do you zone into first?
Oh, first it's the more, I want to say traditional blocks, but done in a different type setting. You know, something that catches my eye that's, whoa, that's really quirky, you know, how they did that with these traditional blocks. And I like the darker, more rich colors. But then I'm open to so many things. I'm in awe when I go to a quilt show. I was at one this weekend and just was amazed at the talent that's out there.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? You go in and you think you've seen every kind of quilt that can be made, and then voila, there's something that just knocks your socks off.
Absolutely. And that happened several times this weekend. It was great.
And
it
gives you
such inspiration.
Oh, it does. That's what I like to see. I like to see what people have done, color combinations, that kind of thing. So you travel and teach so people can see that. They can contact you from your website, right?
Absolutely. I love teaching. I guess that's just in my blood. I never got rid of it.
Well, they're probably might be a little different than the first graders, huh?
Yeah. A lot just more enthusiastic and not so many frowns and questions on their faces when they don't understand something because my patterns and books are so easy to follow.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Pat. I enjoyed it.
This is Kathy Brown of The Teacher's Pet. We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Weren't those two first guests just really exciting to listen to? I mean, there's a lot of good information these quilters have for us. Makes our life easier. Now, I have to tell you that I am just thrilled to death to have Karen Stone on the show because I've taken some workshops with Karen and I love her approach to color and design, and it makes sense to my brain and how I think, and I think it will make sense to a lot of you. And if you've not experienced her work, you are in for a real treat once you hear Karen. So Karen is also an award-winning quilter. She exhibited her quilts at one point, and I think she has a ton of ribbons to show for it. So we're just going to talk to Karen and find out what makes her tick. So welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you. How are you?
I am really, really good. I'm so glad to have you on here.
Thank you.
Now, Karen, I know a little bit about your background because I have taken some workshops and you are so generous in your classes and we get to learn a lot about you. One of the things that's always fascinated me personally is that you have a huge love of interest of music and a background in music. Can you just tell us all a little bit about that?
Sure. You got to study something in college, right? And I did. I went to school. I went to Baylor and studied piano and got a degree in music education because my mom made me.
And,
then I went to grad school at University of Michigan and finished my master's at Indiana University and started my doctorate at UT Austin. And it was, you know, it was a great way to spend that time, you know.
And you worked as a musician also, you know, besides studying, right?
Teaching, and I've, right. I work, you know, for money as a ballet pianist for a number of years, but by the time I was really ready to get a job, the family started, and that was my opportunity to start quilting.
Ah. So
things changed right fast.
Yeah, you know, did you make a quilt for your first baby? Is that sort of what inspired you to make a quilt?
Well, that was my justification for making a quilt, but I really saw quilts when I was in Indiana, because I mean, regionally, that's such a great hotbed of both traditional quilts. There are a lot of Mennonite people there and Amish, and there are beautiful quilt stores. There were in the 80s too when I was there, and there's also fiber art at the university. So I saw all of those things and was really inspired to want to start. But couldn't until that baby gave me that opportunity. So thanks, Mark.
Yes, that's right. Thank that child. And when you made your first quilt, I mean, were you hooked, Karen, or did it take a little bit longer?
I think I was hooked. I wanted to be hooked. I just needed a reason to start. And pretty much I was hooked. It's like I had taken engineering classes in college too, and I come from a long line of mechanical engineers. My brother works mechanical and aerospace, and my dad was a mechanical engineer. So all that appeals to me, the geometry, and of course, you know, my mother wouldn't let me leave the house if my clothes didn't match. So I think that she had enormous potential as a colorist. Mm-hmm. And so, there are a lot of, you know, and my grandmother sewed. So it all was very natural to me.
Yeah. So it was just, you were just waiting for that moment to,
unleash it.
Now, when I first, and I think many people, when we first knew of Karen Stone and Karen Stone's style and your work was your New York Beauty that you did, which you exhibited, and I believe you won quite a few awards for, and I think it was on the cover of a magazine somewhere or featured somewhere, because that's when I saw it, and your colorations were unique and different and sparkled. It's a fabulous quilt.
Thank you. That was 1993, but, you know, it wasn't my first magazine cover. Indian Orange Peel was actually on Quilters Newsletter first.
It was actually the
next quilt after that one. But, I love that quilt because for the first time I was working in color that was more complex than I could recreate on graph paper with my Crayolas.
Yeah.
So I had to really work in my fabric and work with what I saw. And and I found it very confidence building to work with the fabric on a table before I ever sewed a stitch.
So
I do that to this day.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about how you think about color, if that's the right way to say it, Karen, you know, because I think you have a great approach to how you work. And I've sort of a, you know, it really speaks to how I work too. But how do you approach getting ready to work on something? Because you have a lot of fabric to play with.
Oh, yeah. And after the last 3 weeks, I have a lot more.
Right. You don't use just 5 fabrics in your quilts. I mean, you know.
Oh, if I could, I would, but I can't make up my mind or have the confidence to go forward with 5 fabrics. I wish I could. My friend Jane Mitchell can, and I love her for that. Let's see. Number one, everyone has their own way of working with color. And, you know, we all need to just indulge that individuality. So I don't have the right way. I just have a way that works for me.
Right.
And I try really not to think about it too much, but to really react more on an emotional level and to react visually. Because I might have, I mean, all of my ideas are always proven wrong by what I see. And that's got to be what rules, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when you're, you know, in your studio space, which, you know, what's it like? What's it like to be in Karen's work area?
Let's see. Right now, I'm in a house all by myself. So I don't have a studio, but my house is where I work. Yeah. So I work all over the place. You know, I'm anywhere I want. The sewing machines are on wheels, and I've got big windows that look out into the woods, and my kitchen island with natural fluorescence is just like the brightest place in my world. So I'm all over the place.
So do you have your fabric organized any particular way?
You know, I tend to store it after the fact by the quilt. Like all those original fabrics that were from that New York Beauty quilt are all still together. And of course they've been cannibalized and moved, they graduated on. But am I ever going to forget that group of fabrics? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of old quilts, sort of archived on my shelf. And then the more exciting place, however, is the new acquisitions place, you know, where the things come into the house that I don't know what they're for. And that's an exciting place because I'll see things there. I see relationships. I see conflict. I see trends. I see my own shopping habits that maybe I wasn't aware of. And that's where exciting things happen.
Do you go in and just sort of move that group around? I mean, I could just see you looking at them, but do you like shuffle them around and do you just play with that new acquisitions group without bringing new friends in, or how do you do that?
I have to touch I'm so compulsive. I have to touch every piece I own before I can start. But, you know, I think that you get that whether it's one piece or whether it's a little group of things, that you can't keep your hands off of, you know? Mm-hmm. And if your stash isn't filled with those things, you're doing it wrong. It should be full of things that just make your heart sore, you know? And so, you know, it's usually that I can't help but start. And then, then you have to support it, and then you have to you have to edit, not all that work stuff, but usually it's passion. It's some kind of passion that gets me going.
And do you find that it's a particular color when you have that stack there that you're sort of starting to play around with, or a texture, or how does your mind usually work?
It can be, you know, I think that like I'll suddenly realize there's a whole lot of yellow and it's time to work in yellow because I seem to love it and don't know why. But more often it's going to be conflict. It's going to be something that comes together with something else that's maybe not something I would have considered or thought of, but that I see. Like something bright with something earthy, or something intensely colored with stuff that's intensely textured, like black and whites or brown and blacks or gray and, you know, something like that, where it starts to tell a story. And then you just have to keep building and see if it's a good story.
Yeah. So what's it like to shop with you, Karen? I mean, do you ever shop for a whole?
It's fun to shop with me. Are you kidding?
What was your question again? With you. I'd be dangerous. I think my credit card will be smoking if I'm shopping with you.
Oh, man. I'm a good customer. But, you know, I'm a scrap quilter, so I'm really not that good a customer because I buy small pieces. But yeah, I just want to be on fire. I just want to grab stuff that I can't stand it. I can't stand to leave it behind, you know?
Yeah. Don't you hate it if you haven't gotten it? I mean, it just bugs you, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah,
I should have had that.
After 25 years, that's what I'm shopping for, is that thing that's going to keep me awake tonight if I don't buy it.
Yeah. and how big a piece do you buy, Karen? Since you do work with so many different fabrics and you probably don't often need big yardage, but do you buy big yardage anyways?
Well, you have to put something on the back.
Such and, lovely rationale.
There are fabrics that are just made to be backed, like Alexander Henry. You know, they're so beautiful and so finished. They don't really need to be cut up. They're just there to love. But I lost the question. I just thought about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you ever buy, like, fat quarters?
How much do I buy? Like, fat quarters, if they're cut, man, I'll just buzz through there and pull them. And I don't have any kind of memory anymore, so I'll buy the same ones over and over. It's acquiring yardage, right? But I love the third yard cut, which is a 12 inches, so that there's a background piece if you should need that for anything fun. And 1 yards are great for things that are going to be in every quilt for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good.
2 yards is a huge, huge commitment.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought 5 yards of something once. I still have some of it, like quite a bit.
Yeah,
it's a big commitment. So, what I want to do is when we come back, we're going to take a break here pretty soon. But when we come back, I want to talk a bit about the type of quilt you make, because you've gone through different styles. What particular quilt are you working on right now? Is it something you can tell us before we take the break?
Oh gosh, I'm working on a wig for feet to keep, and I'm working on a quilt for my sister-in-law who's recovering from cancer, and she's doing great.
Great, that's super. We're gonna take a little break, Karen, and then what we're gonna do is I want to talk about sort of that clamshell that you just finished and is out all over the place now, and some other stuff with you. Okay.
All right.
All right, so this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to come back after a little break.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to quilt maker Karen Stone. So, Karen, you've been working on and just finished, and you're now teaching this absolutely amazing, sort of giant clam quilt. It's just extraordinary. You worked on that a while, didn't you?
I did. You know, it was travel work. A lot of hand applique and improvisational things that were just kind of made up on the fly from my shopping bag. It's hard sometimes to be on the road and feel productive. And so my work habits had to just adapt to the lifestyle, you know?
You know, I'm really, I just find it amazing. I can't work on a project for a long period of time. My brain just doesn't do that. I need to finish sooner. But how do you, I mean, it is an amazing quilt. The colors are gorgeous. How did you keep over the years that palette going?
Well, you know, I don't think I did a very good job of that. But thank you. I have to make things fast, too, and I certainly did in the course of working on that. So it wasn't like I focused on it consistently. I might have finished it sooner maybe. So, I mean, it's important to make fast quilts and slow quilts.
You enjoy the process, don't you, of...
Yeah.
Can you just tell me a little bit about how, I mean, I know you have great passion for quilting. I know it feeds your soul. How can you sort of explain that to me, you know, and what it means to you?
Well, you know, I think it's that I'm simple, not that I'm complex, but I just want to have fun. You know, I want to not be idle or bored and I want it all to be exciting and fun. And I think that's why I'm a finisher, because I just, baby boomer, you know, we're spoiled and we don't settle for no as an answer. And, you know, I want my shopping to be fun, not well-behaved or disciplined, you know. And I want the work to just be exciting, and I want to be doing what I want to do, not what I should be doing. I don't know what that would be, but... And so, I think that if you approach it that way, as play and as delight, then it just doesn't bog down, and you aren't affected by the duration of a project or by the work.
You know, I think that's just a great way for anybody to think about what they're doing, is that it should always be fun.
Yeah, it's a privilege, you know, to be able to work, and life is short, so that'd be good.
So your technique, you have like this, you call it one patch, and you're doing it applique. What are you doing there? How to explain how that works?
Well, you know, I love tradition. I really, really do. And and I love handwork. So I'm not doing it as a way of improving on handwork at all, because I really love handwork. But I just sort of figured out a way to underbase stuff and sew it together with the machine just as an alternative. And it's looking good. I think it looks, I don't think you look at it and say, oh, that's done by machine. stuff I wanted to do.
And you're teaching this so that people can. And I forgot to give your website, which it's KarenKStone.com, right?
Right. And it's also under construction, and the phone number's wrong, but you can email me.
Well, you can get the phone number fixed.
I'll get on it. I promise. I'll get on it.
Yeah, there you go. And it clicks over to your book that's published by Electric Quilt. Can you just tell us a little bit about your book?
It's my quilts, but Penny McMorris is the one who gets credit for pulling anything out of me that makes any sense at all. Asking the right questions was just that was what made that project go well. And I just admire Penny so much, and have always loved her. To get to work with her on something was just such a great privilege.
She is awesome. It tells a little bit about your story and how you think and you work, and then it gives a whole bunch of patterns.
Yeah.
And this book has been out a little while, so it's like your clamshell wouldn't be in there, but it has your New York Beauty or your Liberty Goes to Hawaii, which is a similar.
Yeah, it has a contemporary, we revisit things in the course of our lives. We circle back and try things again, you know. Mm-hmm. So if there was that early New York Beauty quilt was a book of its own that's out of print now, available as a download from Electric Quilt.
Okay.
But the quilt on the cover of the book is Cinco de Mayo, which is mm-hmm. another New York Beauty quilt with variations and sort of a contemporary mm-hmm. adaptation of the traditional pattern.
Yeah, so you like spiky stuff, don't you? You have
I
a
do.
Lot of. Because you have spikes in your clamshell, and you did a lot of quilts. You know, are you hand piecing those or machine sewing those, paper piecing?
Oh yeah. I wove the fabric myself. I did it all by hand. No.
You wove the fabric too. I knew you were amazing.
No, foundation piecing, and that, you know, points are just virtuosity. Mm-hmm. You know, in piano, you know, you'd be doing runs and trills and making noise. That's just what that is. It's just making noise and
flashy.
Yes, yeah, I can do that. It's fun to look at. It's fun to look at.
That is very cool. So when you're teaching, you've been out now teaching for many, many years. What is kind of your favorite thing about going out to teach?
You know, I think it's what I get back, really. If I look at project completely selfishly, it's what I get back. You know, when I first started teaching, I was always the youngest person in the room. Mm. And the collective wisdom of quilters is really an amazing thing. So I got the benefit of a lot of mothers and a lot of grandmothers once mine, you know, were no longer with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've carried that with me. I'm no longer the youngest person in the room, but, you know, I never fail to learn something really important about color mm-hmm. that I would never have considered when I walk into a room full of women with their fabric.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just very exciting because I always learn something new.
And the one thing that you said to me, Karen, at one point was that, you know, color is like sacred ground. You know, do you try to like share that with your students?
Well, yeah, but really what I want to do is bring it out in them because mm-hmm. they've got something unique to say. And I, you know, I want to know what it is. That's why quilt shows are fun. You know, we're all unique. We all are different. And we have loved different things and we collect different things and we like to look at different things. Mm-hmm. And if we were all alike, we all made the same quilt. Quilt shows mm-hmm. wouldn't even happen. We wouldn't need them.
Yeah. I love how you audition fabric. And you sort of do, you take your time to do that, don't you?
I really do. It's the dearest and the hardest work, I think, but boy, when you do that part of the process well and mm-hmm. carefully and passionately, how can your quilt go bad? It doesn't matter what you do if that part's right.
I think that's one of the biggest things, Karen, that I learned when I took the very first workshop with you is about how to think about auditioning, and I've since use that and taken that out to my students because, you know, in a classroom environment, we are trying to, you know, move a little quicker than at home. But at home, I do think, you know, what you said about taking the time, you know, you will let things perk. They'll sit for a while, won't they?
I mean, sometimes it's just not, you don't know if it's something yet. Mm-hmm. And you got to give it that time to cook, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all about, it goes back to shopping.
All right.
Because you know, you want to enjoy that fabric at mm-hmm. every stage of the game. You want to mm-hmm. enjoy that shopping experience and really feel engaged and, you know, like it's a blast, and like you're spending your money well. Mm-hmm. And then once it's home with you, you want to play with it. It's like dressing Barbie, you know, you want to play with your stuff and enjoy it sewing and enjoy it in the quilt and, mm-hmm. you know. Forever. It's just beginning
staple
to end.
Staple it on the walls. Staple it up so you can see it. Do you Do you ever do something? Do you have fabric that's you end up, you know, after a while, you know, you don't love it so much anymore?
Oh, I think we all, right? And having been doing this for 25 years and having moved recently, I've discovered that there's nothing more wonderful than a good purge, you know, a good going through and getting rid of those things that are making you feel guilty because you no longer love them. And if you're lucky, one of your friends will be doing the same thing at the same time, and you'll love her stuff. And that actually happened to me. I was in somebody's shop, Judy Gullah's shop in near D.C., and she had gone through her stuff and put some old things out to sell, and I went nuts. So let it go. Let it go out there. Some, it may be exactly what somebody else is looking for. Take it to your garage sale. And then you have more room to fill out.
I like to advocate that also. You know, don't keep it sitting around, taking up space, making you feel bad. You know, just keep what you love.
That's right. That's right.
And you just said, you know, that you had recently moved, and you have a new group that you can sew with, right?
Oh, my goodness. The Blockheads. It's they're perfect. They are perfect. I love them so much. It's it's the group that Laverne Matthews started the group. She was the first Best of Show winner at the Houston show.
Wow.
And then also Renella Babin Deloney is the lady who taught me to quilt in 1986.
Wow.
So they are beloved. Dot Collins, just one of the most talented people I've ever met, has taught pretty much every quilter in this area, has taken a class or two with Dot, or 10. She's brilliant. Just, they're all brilliant. They're all brilliant.
So you
everybody
get to hang
feels
out
that
with
way
them
about
now.
Their beat. I'm sorry?
You get to hang out with them now.
Oh, yes. It's great.
Yes.
It's great.
And I get to see you. I want to tell you quick before we end that I get to see you in Alabama at the beginning of June this year, because we're both teaching at the Quilt Symposium of Alabama in Birmingham, in the Birmingham area.
Oh, how wonderful. That's going to be fun. I'm so glad we're going to be together there.
Yes, I will see you there. Well, Karen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Pat. It's been a pleasure.
So we'll be signing off for today, American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Please visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Come back next week, and I will be here with new guests. Plus, we have an editor's tips going on. So this is your host, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
To visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.